This episode of the Oh No 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 podcast is sponsored by Dynamic Industrial Services, the rope access specialist. Every week we talk about the Rovers' latest attempts to climb the SPFL ladder, but sometimes even a ladder won't reach. DIS are specialists in working at height, offering maintenance, inspection, repair and more, right across Scotland. So if you need a rope access specialist and you want a premiership service, visit dynamicindustrialservices.co.uk to find out more. Diamonds are forever. I really hope not. Welcome back to the Oh No 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 podcast. My name's Robbie Weir, and tonight we're going to be taking a forensic look back into a Tuesday trauma as Rhys McCabe's Diamonds successfully overcame Raith Rovers once again. Adam Frizzell's first half double put Airdrie into a commanding lead before Josh Mullen's second half goal gave Rovers a little bit of hope going into the final 20 minutes of the game. Unfortunately, though, a late Lewis McGregor goal sealed the deal for the Diamonds, who took home all 3 points and raised a big question for the Rovers' title challenge going forward. Joining me tonight in group therapy, again, we've got Carol Smith. How are you, Carol?
I'm fine. Just for the record, Diamonds are not a girl's best friend. I do not want them, never want them, never want to see them again. Thank you very much.
Always more of a sapphire type person, personally. Scott Fleming. Scott, how are you?
Meh.
We'll allow that. We will absolutely allow that. And once again, our faceless man, Callum Blythe. How are you, Callum?
I'll take the moral victory and not having a stupid Donald Trump flag.
Yeah, that's fair. It's a good laugh. It's a good laugh. So, yeah, we arrived on Tuesday night, and Scott, it was an unchanged lineup. So what did you make of that, the decision just to keep the lineup the same? Because I think it's the first time since November that we'd retained that starting 11.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty surprising considering it was 3 games in a week that we've got. So I was fairly happy the fact that, because we'd won on Saturday and we'd kind of points looked back to how we normally are, sort of thing as well. So, no, I don't think anybody really could have had too much complaints with the team that we had out, especially if we played like we did on Saturday at times against Ayr. But yeah, I think it was just a case of whatever reason, it was just the whole Airdrie debacle again, where it just does, whatever team we've put out this season, it just doesn't seem to work.
Yeah, I think exceptionally frustrating. You touched on just before we came on, it was something like 13 years before Airdrie had beaten us this season, and now they've managed to do almost nearly a clean sweep, which is very frustrating, especially given that they're sort of a newly promoted side. And you never go to disrespect a side. I said before, even before the second game that we played against Airdrie, which was right when we'd started doing our podcast, that I did like them. They were a very good side, but yeah, you would still expect at least a win or two to sort of give you some comfort. Carol, I'm just going to turn to you next. I think that Ewan Murray arrived back on the bench and didn't start. What did you make of that?
It was surprising. Like Scott said, it was 3 games in a week. You think there might have been a quick change. I know I said on the build-up, the preview podcast, that I would stick with the lineup, but that was literally just because I hadn't thought of anything else, so I was sticking with what you know. I didn't honestly think that Murray would go with it, because I thought that Ewan Murray would come back in. So I was surprised he was on the bench, but then, as we've picked up on before, it's a strong bench. It's Ian Murray must be doing it for a reason. He's seen something in training. He's seen something on Saturday that worked. If it is not broke, don't fix it. Let's try again on Tuesday. But yeah, it was surprising to see that there hadn't been one or two small changes just for resting legs more than anything else.
And Callum, just to come to you, were you quite positive going into the match?
No, because it's bloody Airdrie.
After no selling a question there, that's a mark down for you.
I'm an honest man.
You are an honest man, I'll give you that. But I think that one thing I would say about it was that, yeah, there was, you can understand why Murray's kept it the same. I don't think last Saturday against Ayr by no means was the best performance, but that was largely situational due to the conditions that the squad were playing in. I think it makes sense in that we don't know, Ewan Murray might still be having the after effects of that, so if we have him on the bench to be able to sort of bring him on only if necessary, you can see why there's a rationale behind that. And the squad did get the job done against Ayr United, and we had looked quite resolute. And you didn't really feel that like Ayr were knocking on the door by any stretch of the imagination. So I think with that logic, you can understand why it's unchanged. Scott, just going to come through to you now. 25 minutes on the clock and Airdrie take the lead. Can you talk us through the goal?
It was not a good one to see for us. I mean, it was obviously we got the unlucky straw that we actually got to see it about three times on Rave TV because of the highlights of it. But I've not called him out too many times this season because he's been so consistent. But I'm sorry, but Sean Byrne was so poor for that goal. Frizzell receives the ball and Byrne, I suppose if he wants to call it closing him down, he ran over to him and then ran past him. When Frizzell didn't even do anything, he just stood with the ball and he just ran past him. And to be honest, if anything, at that point, you just have to foul him because you can see that there's nobody in and around Byrne or Frizzell. And then Frizzell's allowed to just sort of, he's not even really running faster and he's just kind of jogging with the ball, given so much time to just, yeah, get his shot away. Fair play to him, he's picked his spot. It's a really, really good finish. But when you, especially at the Championship, when you're given that amount of time to a quality player, more often than not, they'll probably score it. So I thought that Sean Byrne really was poor for that goal. I also thought, though, that the defence were very slow to react to the fact that Byrne hadn't stopped Frizzell as well. So the fact that we just kept backing off was a bit disappointing with that as well. So, nah, all in all, it was just a goal that was so avoidable. And as I say, if it was me, I would have liked to have thought that if you feel that you're not going to get the ball, just foul him. He wasn't going to get sent off or probably not even going to get a booking for it. Just pull the guy back a wee bit and then it'll stop. It'll be a quick free kick or whatever and just get on with it. But yeah, it was a poor one to lose.
I don't think it's the first time that we've really seen a goal like that. It wasn't. I mean, that was not the first time that we saw that on Tuesday night, but even before that, you look back to the 4-4 game against Ayr United at Starks Park, and Aidan McGeady had a very similar goal where he just walks through the middle of the pitch and you're waiting for someone almost to step out. Now, I think that a lot of the focus is going to go into the home midfielders, and it's a shame because I do like Sean Byrne and I like Ross Matthews, and if they're both at Rovers next season, I'm not going to have any complaints. Certainly, Matthews is what probably falls very much into the term fans' favourite. But, yeah, they're just very frustrating because I think it's one of those ones after, as a fan, that you do sit and you look and you say, could more have been done? And you definitely have a feeling of, like, yeah, there probably could, as you say, just take one for the team. If you pick up a silly booking, then so be it, but it stops a goal. Because one thing we know about this Airdrie team, if they get in the lead, certainly against Rovers, we've not found out a way to undo that yet. We've always looked very difficult. Now, keeping in mind the way that the last few games have gone, Carol, do you think that goal really sort of exemplified sort of the two approaches Airdrie have sort of really employed, a high press against us this season, whereas Rovers have tended to sit off a bit more against them? So do you think that goal was kind of like summed up that situation?
Pretty much. And I think Airdrie have really capitalised on finding any little hole that we have in a position or in the defence or in the holding midfield. They've found the little gaps and they just seem to capitalise on it better than any other team in the league. I don't know if it's just from Ian Murray's previous time at Airdrie or anything, if there's any leftover from that. But yeah, they are the team that know us the best and can find our gaps and weaknesses and really, really play on them.
Yeah, I'd fully agree with that. I do find it interesting that Murray's obviously spent so many years with Airdrie before, and McCabe's been sort of almost an understudy, not even a sort of an assistant or anything like that, but he has spent the time, and it's almost like he knows how to adapt to it and how to go. Just such a bizarre league that you look at how they've done this season. Air have taken 12 points off them. We've taken 10 points off Air. And Airdrie have taken 10 points off us. So it's just these small sort of cycles. Callum, I'm going to come to you, and I'm going to have to get more than one sentence out of you this time. Did you feel it was sort of inevitable with the goal coming? What were your thoughts in terms of the build-up for it?
It was sort of inevitable. I felt like Airdrie did show they had the better of us before the goal. Like they were definitely the one more forward. They definitely came at us more than we did towards them. But again, it's like we've seen that goal a good few times this season, where once the holding midfielder is like gone past, someone doesn't step out. Like, they just let whoever has the ball run towards us. And to be fair, it is some strike from Frizzell for that first goal. It was I wasn't mad about it. It's like, obviously, I mean, I was mad at someone not going out, but it's like, you can't fault the finish like that. Like, it was a really good hit. But, yeah, it was still annoying, but deserved.
I agree with that. I think that you've got to give a bit of credit to Frizzell and Airdrie, both for fully deserved to win the game. I don't think anyone could question that. To get into that commanding position, obviously, there's a degree that Rovers fans will feel frustrated because we have slightly been undone ourselves. But at the same time, yeah, brilliant hit from the guy. Fair play for sort of stepping up to that. And if you could just, Callum, take us through the second goal as well.
Yeah, it just comes from Brown just misjudging it. Like, he just gets bodied, and then again, Frizzell just runs, no one goes to him, and he just, again, hits it from outside the box, and it's in that same side as the first one. So, again, it's a good hit, but it's like, you got to be closing him down at least. Like, that's what annoyed me. It's like, no one got close to him.
Yeah, I can understand. You do wonder that sort of situations like that, to lose such a similar goal, very, very frustrating from our perspective. Carol, sort of watching on Rave TV, just what was your sort of thoughts at that point? How did you feel?
I was genuinely worried that this could end 5-0 to Airdrie, and it was going to be embarrassing, because it was like, we've just lost pretty much a carbon copy of the first goal again. They found the leaky bucket. That's it. Everything's just going to go in, because we looked frustrated at that point, and I was slightly worried that the heads were going to go down and it was just going to end up with infighting and arguing on the pitch. Because it just, you could, on Wraith TV, because it was so quiet in the stadium, you could pretty much hear everything that was going on. So yeah, I was definitely not my most optimistic when that second goal went in.
I don't blame you. And to be honest, that is something I know we spoke about on WhatsApp, and I think it's a million-dollar question almost for the club at the moment, is that we've increased the attendances so much this season, but the atmosphere is it's been very, very surreal. I had to explain that to my friend going into the game on Tuesday. Like, it doesn't feel like a team that's going for a title in the sense of the stands. It's not like rocking our bounce then. And I get it's easy to sort of point a finger and say, why are people not doing this? Because the question inevitably comes, well, what are you doing to change that, to be honest? I've said before, I'm munching on my Wervers original, so it's Dundee United podcaster certainly putting it. I'm not.
You've got your tartan blanket starting on your knees, and you've got your slippers on your feet, and you're comfy.
Yeah, exactly, precisely. I'm not one to be leading chants or grabbing microphones or chucking flares about, etc., etc. But I think it's a million-dollar question, and hopefully there can be sort of some headway made with it next season. I would just love to see sort of some form of identity come about to sort of improve the atmosphere in the sense of like a grouping and like people where people can go to and get involved. And other clubs have done that successfully. I know Falkirk in recent years have done it. Dunfermline have obviously done it. And there's no reason why Rovers can't, but I think it's all about figuring out the pathway to get to that. And I think it's something that's very easy to sit here, for me to sit here and talk about and say. And the South Stand can be great when it gets going. I've had many Saturday afternoons. I've always loved the run-in for the 2008-2009 season, I think it was. You look back at the games like Brechin, Alloa, even the day that we lifted that title against Arbroath, a lot of really good atmospheres in that season. And yeah, just trying to get that, and how do you bottle that and be able to sort of further it? Scott, just at this point, I am literally just going to give you a free carte blanche place to just get your thoughts away, because I know that you as a person, you like to talk about your frustrations with the Rovers. Feel free to tell us how you are at the moment.
I mean, listen, we've had a great season and nobody can tell us otherwise, but on Tuesday night, I wasn't going tonto in my house, but I was pretty disappointed, was putting it politely, especially when the second one went in. Just as what yous have said, like, it's literally the same sort of goal. Now, it's not identical, but it's just the fact that it's just backing off when we've just been punished for doing that. It just, I don't know, I think, was it Leslie had put into the group chat saying that it's now 8 times this season that we've conceded 2 goals, like, within 5 to 10 minutes each other? Like, that,
yeah.
That's almost quarter of the season. That's actually quite a damning start, to be honest. But I actually thought, which was very unlike him, again, I actually thought it started from an error from one of our players in terms of, I thought that Brown was very weak going in for it. I guess he was going for a header, but he basically just turned his back on it. Which, I mean, I don't think you could ever say that Scott Brown would have not gone in for a 50-50 sort of ball. He's the sort of player that you want in a 50-50 challenge, but for some reason he seemed to turn his back, and yeah, the ball's sort of bounced out to Frizzell, and he's been able to obviously just run away with it. And again, I don't know if it's just the angle or the highlights, but I just didn't think the ball went into the corner of the net. So I'm not sure if Dubrovsky's maybe been partially sighted with it, but again, he's hit it well enough, fair enough to him, but I just felt, again, it was just the backing off that was really frustrating, and it was hardly surprising that when the second one went in, you could start to hear the boos coming out, and you're going, well, the players will know that, like, this is unacceptable, but at the same time, like, you can't be conceding the exact same goal within 5 minutes each other. You surely have got to quickly adapt after that first one. Right, we need to not allow this to happen again. But RJ, it did happen again.
I think you can understand the frustration. You naturally want to stick with players as much as you can, but I think if there's going to be a moment that people get frustrated, it's probably going to be that point when you lose such a similar goal at that moment. So that runs us through to half-time, at which point Ian Murray says, right, let's get it changed. A triple sub where Jack Hamilton, Sean Burton and Ross Matthews all come off to be replaced with Zach Rudden, Kyle Turner and Callum Smith. So, Callum, what were your thoughts on the changes? Do you think it was the right move at that point to make them, or would there be anything that you would have potentially thought that Ian Murray could have maybe done different?
I found it funny. We take off our 2 holding midfielders, put on 2 attacking midfielders, another attacking player, just fuck it. We got nothing to lose, we're 2-0 down. We might as well. And to be fair, it did work. It's like that first, it's like up until the goal, and it's like throughout that second half, we were very much, if we weren't on top of them, like, the fact we did only score the one with Mullen is a miracle, in my opinion. It's just like we were just there, like camped at their box, pretty much that second half. So it's like, it's also frustrating because you're like, where was this in the first half? Like, where was this sort of urgency to get forward? Because we just didn't have that in the first half. But I suppose it does depend. It's like, obviously, bringing on more attacking players, you're going to be a more attacking side. But it was just prime Murray ball, pretty much.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, that was by design, obviously, from Ian Murray to sort of... There was a few questions sort of raised. A lot of people have wanted to see Zach Rudden and Jack Hamilton up top and to take off both the open midfielders to bring on Kyle Turner. To be honest, I thought Kyle Turner was excellent when he came on. Did really well in midfield, sort of kept things ticking over. And Callum Smith's pace definitely helped. Just to go to you, Carol, we obviously sacrificed the shape to go for it. What was your sort of viewpoints on that and how did you feel?
I kind of agree with Callum. We had nothing to lose at this point. We're 2-0 down. As long as we don't lose any more goals, we might as well go forward. Because we know we can do it. We know we can score another and then it's... But that seems to be the big thing that's changed, I think, is that going right to the end seems to have fallen off. So we really, like, even if we get 2-1 back, now there's that doubt that we can complete the challenge. But yeah, definitely with those substitutions, that we're going for this. We're going all or nothing. If we lose a third, it's not like we lose any more points by losing 1-0, 2-0 or 25-0. It's still just losing 3 points. So why not?
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess that's kind of the attitude that you've got to embrace with Murray Ball, because we know that it's going to be a degree of all or nothing. It was certainly more than a few moments. Airdrie did have a really big chance to actually make it 3-1 before we put it, before we got our goal back, where one of their lads just headed past the near post from across in. And there was a degree of sort of, at the back, was a degree when Airdrie and their sort of forays forward, they did look very threatening. And you've got to give them credit for that, because I don't think anyone can come on here with sour grapes and sort of say, oh, Airdrie sat in and defended and held on to that, because that was not the case. Nobody's going to try to sell you that story. Scott, 60 minutes in, Josh Mullen comes on, makes it 2-1. Just talk us through that equaliser.
Equaliser?
Yeah, definitely.
I wish it was.
Wishful thinking.
Thank God for editing. Nah, we'll leave this one in. We'll leave it in. You've got to have a laugh at yourself. That consolation goal, shall we say. Deficit-reducing goal.
What I've got in my notes is in capital letters, Josh Mullen on the left wing works. And it's what I've been calling for weeks now, that I would just like to try it, because he starts at Ayr last season. I think he played 6 games on the left and he scored 3 goals from that side when he had scored only like 2 the whole season on the right. So it was just something I was interested in. I was trying. He did it and he seemed to score straight away. So whether it's just coincidence, I don't know, but it was a lovely finish. I mean, he's almost kind of, it's just like a whipped pass sort of into the bottom corner. It's great technique. And he's just used it, it's just skidded nicely off the surface. But at that point, I genuinely thought, right, we've got them on the ropes here. They're now thinking, oh, the Rovers are actually up here. They might actually come back for a change. And for about, I'd say 10 minutes, we were really all over them in terms of they were sat back going, right, if we can just weather this sort of storm, then we'll be all right. But yeah, I mean, after the goal, I genuinely thought, right, if we get a second, we will actually go on and beat them for a change. It just had that feeling to it. But, yeah, unfortunately, the post didn't agree with us or with Aidan Connolly, because, I mean, it was the inside of the post as well, which made everybody... I watched the highlights back this morning, and I'm just going, the whole stand's literally on their feet, thinking that the ball's in the back of the net, and it's just managed to... It's actually hit the post too much and came back out. But yeah, it's really unlucky. And then obviously, yeah, we know what happens about 40 seconds later.
Yeah, I think, and we could discuss this as a group next, I think that you've got to feel for Aidan Connolly because he's came so close on a number of occasions. That's, I think he's hit post two or three times now since coming back from injury. He's had his double against Morton, but I think it's frustrating because you can see what he can do last season and the impact that he can have, but it'll be one of those players where I think the question's always going to come in a season like this where people say, oh, he didn't get a full pre-season behind him, he's had that injury and he's came into the squad. So obviously he's played a lot of football since then, and we do have a very deep squad, which probably means that as a player you're going to have, because of the starters and finishers, you're going to have less of an opportunity to be that key man and get less time on the pitch, which probably gives you less of an opportunity to sort of have that impact. Carol, if you could just talk us through sort of your thoughts both on Josh Mullen and his performance when he came on and how Aidan Connolly is at the moment.
I think that, I mean, like Scott says, it works. That's where he should be. It works. And it was an amazing goal. And I so feel for Aidan Connolly because that was just a midge's ball hair off being an equaliser. And it's like a sliding door moment. It is that if that had gone in, we would have romped that because the atmosphere would have changed, everything would have spun, and we would have done it. And I think that it's just that I think Aidan Connolly has got so much potential and so much promise, and he's just been denied by the post, which must be an absolute pain in the bahookie for him, really.
Yeah, I'm sure that, again, Aidan will feel that as a player, it will be very frustrating to see that come back because that can be a moment that just sort of changes the season completely for him and for the rest of the guys, I'm sure. And that's not the first time that's happened. There have been other moments where we've been dried by the post. And I'm sure there will be fans of other clubs looking at this saying, well, it's Raith Rovers, you've been so lucky all through the rest of the season. But that's football, isn't it? You've got to take your peaks and highs and lows, and it's we're at where we're at just now, and just got to get on with it. So Airdrie get their counter attack 2 minutes after, go up the pitch, and Lewis McGregor rockets home to take the 3 points back along the M8. Callum, do you think that was just a goal born out of circumstances of how committed we were to sort of going on the attack?
Yeah, it was just a classic counter-attack goal, wasn't it? It's like, I feel so sorry for Aidan Connolly, because it's like, I've been in those sort of situations, you know, it's like you're playing sevens or fives, and it's like you miss a chance and they go up the other end and score. It's just like, oh, if only I'd got that goal in or whatever. I feel sorry for him. I miss the League One Aidan Connolly. Like, I miss seeing him, like, every week just cut inside and just hit it top bend, and he just do it every single week. And it's like you can see it's there, but it's just not at the same time. Like, he's just not got the luck this season. It's like that was one of like the most frustrating games because it's like with Connolly's performance, it was like whenever he crossed the ball in or whenever he shot, it was nearly perfect. It was nearly a goal or whatever. But it was just right at the end. It just didn't happen for him. It's like with the goal, it's just, you know, it's just coming up the other end. It's just annoying.
Yeah, it's frustrating the situation for everyone involved. And at that point, I think Rovers fans sort of knew, certainly for that game, the gig was up, just because, 2-1 was difficult and we were on the cusp of getting that equaliser, but 3-1 was always going to be a very tough task against an Airdrie team who they managed that game very, very well in the second half, I would say, much in the same way that we did against Ayr. They were doing exactly the same thing. You've got sort of keeper taking his time with goal kicks, they're shepherding the ball out, they're winning throw-ins up the other end, and you're just thinking, no, we're not getting the ball down the right area, down at this in front of the south stand. Scotland, I mean, I think everyone involved sort of, I think the club are obviously going to naturally want to sort of be looking to sort of sell the story. We're still in a title race here, we're very much looking forward to it. And you, the Scottish Championship, if there's one thing you can level at it, is to say it's very, very unpredictable. We've had a goalkeeper playing centre forward and scoring a 30-yarder against us this season. If you told us that at the start of the season, nobody would have believed it. How are you feeling about things right now, just in terms of the Rovers, and just your thoughts on sort of moving forward into these final few games?
Yeah, I mean, I think I was looking at the league table earlier. Obviously, it's still 4 points. Everybody's played the same amount of games now. Everybody's, other than the odd Friday night game, everybody's playing at the same sort of times as well. So it's there's not any really midweek games coming up. So it is a case of everybody will know where everybody is on a Saturday now. But I think, yeah, of course we're still in the title race, but at the same time, I think everybody will realise that it's very unlikely to see that we'll get a 4-point swing in the space of just four games out of Dundee United. Because we're going to have to win 12 points out of 12. It's just going to have to happen. Because the best we can do is now, what, 73 points, I think it is. Dundee United are now only, what, 8 points to get into that, and then they've got obviously the mental goal difference as well, which is basically at least worth another point. So, yeah, I mean, I think sensible fans would say, like, look, let's just have a positive end to the season, because the last thing you want to do is actually lose on Saturday to Partick, have both these teams that are looking likely to be in the playoffs then play us when they've just beaten us near the end of the season. And ERG have obviously had our number all season. So it's not the way that you would want to end the season. And yeah, you want to be going into the playoffs, if we do go into the playoffs, in as a positive sort of attitude and as a positive frame of mind as we can. And yeah, it's just a case of let's sort of see how it goes. And I mean, we can obviously confirm second place with basically a point on Saturday, but of course we want to go in and win it. Just the final point on the ERG game was that they did something that a lot of teams haven't done this season. It's probably why it's worked so many times for us, that Connolly and especially Easton in the first half, I think ERG had three players on him at one time, marking him every time and trying to force him obviously to cough up the ball. Connolly, again, they're always doubling up on him, but they're doubling up and forcing him down onto his right foot because they know that his right foot's basically for walking on because he never uses it. So it's a case of, I was very close a lot of the time, Connolly, but I would like to see if he can maybe use his right more often. I mean, Murray was going on earlier in the season about asking Dylan to use his left foot more, and look what he did at Tannadice, used his left foot and scored that great goal at Tannadice. So if we can get Connolly able to also use that right, that it then just gives defenders a nightmare, knowing that he's great on his strong foot. But if you can have that second option, defenders then know that, oh, he can go either way. So like it just gives you that extra sort of headache as a defender that a winger can take you either way. But that was my only other point, just the fact that ERG were smart in terms of always putting these sort of players under pressure.
Yeah, I think that, again, I would be very, very reluctant if anyone came on and was sort of being critical of Airdrie. I would have a hard time hearing it, to be honest. I know I've spoken quite a lot about it, but they're such a good football side. They did really well on Tuesday night in particular, just how they handled that game, and tactically they just looked spot on. And I think it's quite easy for people to sort of probably point the finger and sort of say we're a podcast that try and be sort of partisan about things. I think with them, yeah, you've got to give them a lot of credit for how they played that game. Carol, just how are you feeling about the rest of the season and where we're at just now?
I think when people are on social media going about the club need to do this and the club have done that, is that we need to remember what the club is. The club's just not the players and the playing staff, it's the volunteers and the fans. And picking up on what Scott said, we need to be positive because when we're in the playoffs, or if we're in the playoffs, we need to go into them with a positive attitude. We can't go in with the, oh, we've thrown away this, or we've effed up this, or we've screwed up this. We have done fantastically well this season. And we need to remember that. And I live in the sunshine and I would not give up my Costa Brava living and living in the sunshine and going out on my bike in 30 degrees this weekend for anything. But I would swap that every Saturday for 4 o'clock in a freezing cold Stars Park. And people need to appreciate what the freaking hell they've got and enjoy it. Enjoy the last few games. It's not going to be like this next season. Enjoy it. Sing your heart out. Shout your heart out. Give it loudy. On Saturday, I want to that everybody leaves that stadium knowing that they've left everything on that pitch. Fans, players, staff, comic book artists, everything needs to be left on the pitch. We can't leave the last four games of the season going, well, we could have done better. No, the last four games have to be, we gave it everything. Because like Scott said, it's not in our hands anymore. Dundee might throw away 4 points, but we don't know. But if we go in every game and come out and go, we gave it everything, nobody can complain.
Yeah. And Callum, just to come to you on a similar note, how important is it for sort of Rovers to finish the season strong? Say we do end up in the playoffs, that we've got that bit of momentum behind us. How important do you think that would be?
Well, obviously, with getting the momentum, we'll have guaranteed ourselves second, which is massive because that gives us the extra week to prepare. And again, if you're on a winning run, you've got more confidence in you. And that'll bode well if we're playing Partick or whoever it is who finishes 11th, or maybe someone else who finishes 4th, like isn't Edry. But as Cameron was saying, it's like we do have to enjoy this because it's like this is the best season probably in my life. Maybe other than the one where we lost out on the title to Dunfermline. But it's like back then we didn't have the playoffs to fall back on. So with this, it's a lot more of a... It's a bit less stress. It's a bit more of a feel-good factor. And it's like the fact that we're running Dundee United this close is remarkable. And it's like... Again, it's like... We might not be better next season. We could well be better next season. But it's just got to live in the now. Just got to enjoy it. That's what it has been for me this season.
Yeah, 100%.
It wasn't until we beat... It's like, the idea of a title race never clicked in my head until we beat Dundee United at Tannadice just before Christmas. It's like, I was just like, this is amazing. This is just really fun. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh God, we're in a title race. what has happened?
I think it's very important. And I do find it funny, the number of people that are sort of... Social media is obviously a very funny thing. There's a lot of people that have came on and been talking about the whole Rafe have fallen apart, and you know they're straight away in with the suggestions about the cartoons and stuff like that. All along, and we've had people coming in our DMs for the podcast who are saying, "Oh, when's the Dundee United fans? Oh, when's the next podcast? When's the next podcast? This, that, and the other." It's you know what? I'm just loving it. It's hilarious because. It's very much a case that a few years ago we were completely in the doldrums, and look at it now, like our attendance are up, we're second in the league, we've run Dundee United very, very close into a title race. Fair play if they go on and win it because they'll have deserved it. You look at their goal difference and how they've performed. And sure, before that game at Tannadice, there was a lot of pressure on them. I don't think anyone can deny that, but they seem to have stepped up and handled it. And obviously the last few weeks haven't been ideal for us, but that's football. You're never going to win every single game, so you might as well just have a laugh about it. And I don't know, I personally, I'm not going to get too overly upset if we finish second. If we're falling apart in the second every other season, I'd take that, if I'm brutally honest.
Saying about perspective is like, I've just moved house recently, so it's like I've found all my football programs. It's like going through the squad lists of the teams that we had in League One and just like reading them off, and it's just thinking, oh dear God, I went to watch that every week and now we're in this situation. And also it's like, surely no one at the beginning of the season expected us to be in a title race with Dundee United. Like, pretty much everyone was like, Dundee United are going to walk the league because they've got like a top half Premiership squad pretty much. And it's like, first 11 wise, maybe not quite top six, but you know, definitely like a mid-table Premiership first 11. And we've been matching them for most of the season. Like, at this point of the season, it's like we still have a chance. Not in our hands, but it's like we have a chance still. It's just bad.
I'm sure that someone can find the Dumb and Dumber clip of, so you're saying there's a chance to edit in there. But we look ahead naturally now to Saturday. Partick Thistle will come to Kirkcaldy. Again, the message from the club, you listen to Graham Kilgour's interview with Ian Murray beforehand, very much of the perspective, anything can happen. Anything can happen. Scott, just to come to you firstly, just what are your thoughts on Thistle and what are your sort of looking ahead to Saturday with?
Yeah, no, we just need to forget about Tuesday night and look forward, as we've been saying. I mean, I think our games with Partick this season have all been pretty close, and I think both of us actually play pretty good football as well, so I'm expecting another pretty good game, to be honest. If it's anything close to the last time it starts, God, help us all, because I don't know if we'll be breathing by the end of it, but after the last one, but it was, I expect goals. I mean, I know other than the game that we had at Firhill quite recently in midweek, which was obviously a sort of different Rovers sort of style of play in terms of we got a goal and we actually held on to it, which is not like us at all in terms of we are usually on the front foot or we're sort of looking for goals, whereas we got our goal and just it was a very good away win. But Partick in general, they're a strong outfit. They've got a good squad. There's quite a lot of players in the Partick squad that, like, if the Rovers were looking at them for next season, you would go, yeah, I'd probably take a few of them or whatever. So, no, I actually quite like watching Thistle when they come and play us. But I think the bonus that we've got, actually, and I never like to see it because obviously we know injury-wise we like Savoni and stuff, but one of their main players is out with an ACL injury. He injured himself, Lawless, at East End last week, which obviously he's going to be out for they're basically saying until about this time next year. So, yeah, it's never good to see that. But at the same time, for us, I suppose it's a bonus in terms of the fact that they're losing such a key player. It'll be interesting to see who they play maybe in his position instead. But they've got also some good players in terms of McEnroy, Fitzpatrick, Brian Graham, we know all about as well. So, no, I am looking forward to it, and I think it should be a good game.
Yeah, definitely. I think that as a team, Partick of they go through peaks and troughs. Actually, they had a lot of turnover in terms of the summer with what happened, and they seem to have signed about 40 different players this season. Seem to have had quite a lot comings and goings. Just to come to you, Callum, just how are you feeling about Saturday? And is Partick Thistle boing boing the most annoying chant in football?
I love playing Partick. I don't remember a dull game against Partick. Like, there's always something going on. It's like there's always something
objection,
going on.
Your Honour.
And it's like,
did you go to the game in the fog?
Oh, don't.
The fog. The thing is, it's like, when I see there's always something going on, that's something. It's like, there's something to talk about. And it's like with the games this season, it's been the comeback from 2-0, the 4-3 win on telly, the most recent game that was on the telly as well, where it's like, we just put on like a Herculean defensive effort. And it's just always a good time. I think we probably will get another win against them, but with Partick Thistle boing boing as a chant, it's unique, and I'll give them that. Like, it's clearly just a laugh, and I sort of like it for that. And also, it's like,
I'll have
whenever
to take objection to the uniqueness of it. It's a West Brom chant.
Is it a West Brom chant?
It's a West Brom chant. They've ripped it off the baggies.
Have they? I did not know that.
Football and education here, my friend.
To be fair, I don't exactly think about West Brom.
Nobody does, except for Adrian Childs.
No offence to West Brom fans, but it's like up here, I hadn't heard it from any other club. It's just sort of, it's a right laugh. And also, it's like when they do lose, obviously, it's like an easy sticking point for them, where you can just go, it's like, that's then fallen flat or whatever. It's like, we'll just change it to insert club name here, boing boing or whatever.
We're all about that patter at Race Rovers Football Club, aren't we?
Yeah, it's a right laugh. It's just like, if we were to lose a game against, say, who do we have left? We've got Partick. If we were to lose against Morton and they put up like a child's drawing for like a cartoon or whatever, it's like, that would be funny.
We've basically got all the reprobates of the league left. We've got Morton, Arbroath and Cali Thistle. That's it after this game on Saturday. It's Cali, like a suicide squad of terrible football teams.
if we lose to Cali, it's like they put up like some Pictish style drawings. It's like their post-match victory thing. This is a dig at us. It's like, I respect that. Like, that's just sort of funny.
Carol, just to come back to you, we'll go to the old classic. How are you going to line up for the Partick Thistle match? Have you got a line-up ahead?
I have not got a line-up, and I'm going to go with whatever Ian Murray goes with, because, quite frankly, I have not a clue. And I'm
going
to be cheating. No, it's not. I'm going
to. It worked for her, to be fair. It worked for her before the Airdrie game. It didn't work for us as fans.
No,
but,
it didn't work for us. No, I think I'll go with whatever it's. I'm going to stop trying to predict what he wants and what he's going to do because, it won't be the same as. All I'm going to say is it won't be the same as on Tuesday. I think Ewan Murray will come back in and I think Ross Matthews will start. But I am not making any predictions other than that. And yes, it might be cheating and it might be chickening out, but yep. That's it. I will go with whatever Ian Murray goes with.
Scott, you got anything to add to it? Or are you sacking it off as well?
No, I've got a team written down.
Good man.
I think I've got a fellow person in the podcast that will probably have the same on his notepad when he listens to this. But I think Duncan will like that. I've got 4-2-3-1 as usual. I think it's the formation to go in this division, to be honest. I think you need that sort of solid base in midfield, but also get the sort of three just in advance of them to try and help you get up the pitch. But I've got, Kevin Goals, James Brown. I've actually got Watson and Murray. That's what I would go with, but I actually have a feeling that Ian Murray might not play Keith Watson after what happened the last time we had three games in a week. Obviously, he got injured, so I'm questioning whether he might actually stick with Scott Brown. I don't want him to do that because I'd rather have Brown in midfield, but we'll see. And then, obviously, Liam Dickett left back. I've got Brown and Matthews as my two in midfield with Connolly on the right, Stanton at 10 again, and, of course, Josh Mullen on the left, seeing as he's one for one. So. And then I've got Jack Hamilton up top. I actually felt a bit sorry for Hamilton on Tuesday because I did not expect him to be one of the subs. I thought, if anything, get Ruddon or Vaughan. Obviously, we didn't know about Vaughan at the time, but I would have had Vaughan or Ruddon on beside him. Even Callum Smith to a certain extent, but the fact that he took Hamilton off, I was a little bit surprised. But it's what I would go with anyway. And then, I mean, when I'm looking at the names on the bench that I've left there, you've got Byrne, Turner, Easton, Vaughan, Smith, Ruddon, and then even guys like Scott McGill as well. It's ridiculous what we've got when everybody's fit.
And Callum, have you got a line-up for this one?
Dabrowski in goal, Brown right back. I'm going to have Murray and Scott Brown in centre-back, and then Dick left-back, Stanton and Matthews centre-mid. I'll go with Josh Mullen on the left, seeing as it works. We've got Easton on the right, Vaughan behind Hamilton.
Interesting. For me, I've gone with Kevin Goles, Liam Dick left back, James Brown right back, Murray and Watson as your centre halves now that Ewan Murray's declared himself fit to be playing. I think that for me, we need to be going with those two centre halves for the rest of the season. And I know that Watson has played a lot of football, but I think that we're at that point where it's just going to be about recuperating after games. And I know that there's a lot in a week, but going ahead, we're going to be very much into just one game a week and just recuperation between that. I would have Brown and Matthews as holding midfielders. I would keep the two holding midfielders just because I think that Park are going to have... I think their threat's more on the wings. So I think that you... I know that they've lost... we've obviously spoken about Lawless going being lost to injury, which is, again, it's a shame to hear, but positive from our perspective. But you never like to hear that it's such a career-threatening injury by any means. Mullen and Smith were my two sort of wider players. I actually had Kyle Turner as a number 10, just because I want to see him in there. I thought that he pulled the strings when he came on off the bench against Airdrie, and I would actually start Zach Ruddon just to mix it up a bit, just going into the game against Partick. So that is pretty much a preview for the Partick game. I'll just go about. Callum, you got any predictions for the game?
Well, considering I've got the last two right, in which I said we'd beat Ayr 2-1, and then I said we'd lose to Airdrie, so clearly I have some sort of powers. I'm going to say... I'm going to say 3-1 to us.
Okay, interesting. I would be slightly happy with that. Scott?
Yeah, well, if we got more than a one-goal win, it would be only the second time, so I would take that as well. But I agree that I reckon it will be fairly high scoring, as it was the last time they came to Starks. I'll go... I think it will be still really close, though, despite them obviously losing Lawless. But I just think when you've got somebody like Brian Graham as a target man up front, you're going to always have a chance of scoring goals. So I'll go 3-2, Rovers.
And Carol?
I'm going to go 3-0. Because I think, if anything, we just cannot concede on Saturday. If we go 1-0 down, the atmosphere is going to die. I'm going to push on at this point. The only thing I want on Saturday is that everything's left on the pitch, is that nobody walks off there thinking they could have done more, and nobody leaves the stadium thinking they could have done more. So yeah, 3-0. And score early. It'd be quite nice to have a goal in like the first 10 minutes. Maybe two before half-time. That would be amazing.
Carol, I'm going to be tuning in for your motivational speaking. You've got me right up for this game. I'm going to go with a 3-0 Rovers win.
So we're guaranteed to now not score three goals.
Yeah, pretty much. I just can't see Brian Graham. Brian Graham's inevitably got to get a goal against us.
But not if we stop him. If we four on a podcast can see that Brian Graham is the one we need to stop, surely 11 players on our team can go, that's the dude we need to stop with the ball. Don't let him get the ball, then he can't get the ball in the net. It's logical.
Look, we kept Todorov quiet. That's what I was saying. That's what I was banging on about. And
Fault, Callum. It's all your fault. Sorry. We were too focused on Todorov. Ian Murray put this podcast on in the dressing room, and
Murray, please, too focused on Nikolai, doesn't leave his bedroom.
Bloody Todorov.
To be fair, though, Brian Graham hasn't actually scored against us from open play this season. He scored one penalty, so we've clearly done a good enough job against them. But as I say, he's one of the top scorers in the league for a reason. If not, the top scorer.
Partick Thistle have came into their own a little bit recently after that defeat to us. They've been going on quite a lengthy spell, and I think there was maybe a few people starting to ask questions about Doolan. I don't think it's opened dissent or anything because he's a club legend and they want him to do well. But again, just as they're a club that aren't one-dimensional by any stretch of the imagination. Fitzpatrick's a good player. You do see other players crop up from time for them. in terms of the goal scoring. And even Ian Dyack's son, is it, what, Rico? Rocco? He looks a real prospect. So I've, again, part of Thistle, one of the teams I do have a lot of time for. Got a really good fan base online in terms of just generally really sound people involved there that I've sort of gotten to know over the last few years. But yeah, again, as the club have said, I think the message very much is going to be anything can be possible, and the focus has got to be getting that second place secured from Rovers. So hopefully we can get a good turnout on Saturday, and if we can back the team and turn this around, I know that it was only one defeat, but it can have a big lasting impact if we let it. So yeah, really fingers crossed that everyone's getting right behind the Rovers on Saturday, and that we can see ourselves getting the 3 points to get that second place secured. Just a few other points to cover off. Just announced today that Ross Matthews is going to be getting his testimonial year coming up, which is great to see. The club AGM is currently ongoing for our numerous different companies that we've got that make up Raith Rovers Football Club. So our man on the ground, Graham Meldrum, is sending us notes on WhatsApp as it speaks, so we'll need to get him back on. Plus, as well, he's done a killie. He's ran away with the Should McStay or Should Dargo Championship, and I am not happy about that. Mr. Meldrum, get yourself back on this podcast so I can try and reclaim that crown. We'll be back after the Thistle game. Just as ever, you can find us on Twitter. We've got the Instagram. Carol, thank you very much for continuing with that. Blair's, again, on the Etsy shop. He'll be able to, obviously, keep that going there. But yeah, once again, thanks for taking the time to listen. And we look forward to coming back after the Partick game to giving that one a review. But in the meantime, bye for now.